who are tuned in to Calvary Chapel's Bible Prophecy Series.
To the Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, we're transmitting live from our station in the Aventura, Hollandale area in Miami, Florida. It's great to be here with every one of you. We ask that you keep us in prayer, in our technology in prayer, and that everything will go great with today's program. And of course, today we're talking about very important subject matter. We want to give up our phone number before we start in case you might want to call in with a question or a comment or text us in your question or your comments. The local number is 321-END-TIME, 321-363-84. 6-3. We've been talking about the signs of the time, the second coming of the Lord. But before we continue, I'm going to ask Nathan if he will open us up with a word of prayer.
Certainly, I'd be happy to. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word. Thank you, Lord, for telling us about the future so that we can know and prepare our hearts now for your soon return. And Lord, I just pray you'll bless this conversation and all who are listening for your honor and glory. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Nathan. Again, you're tuned in to The Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, as we're talking about signs of the times, the coming of the Lord. Today's program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Aventura and The Truth Will Set You Free Ministry. You can find more information at calvaryaventura.com or on Facebook or JN832. So I want to encourage you to stay tuned during the programs here for the weeks. The Pastor's Perspective, the Open Mic, The House of Prayer, and Christ in Prophecy, as well as some other incredible programs here on TWave.org and TWave.tv. We also want to thank you who are tuning in live right now on TWave.tv. We also thank you for staying tuned for the programs here during the week. But before we continue today's program, once again, I would like to welcome my special guest, web minister with Lamb and Lion, Nathan Jones. Nathan, always a pleasure to have you back, and especially for the second segment.
Hey, brother, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. And of course, Nathan, maybe someone just tuned in to the first, they did not tune into the first segment of a program. Maybe they just tuned into the second segment of the program. We'd love to just give out your information once again in case someone wants to reach out to you, maybe take hold of your wonderful resources.
Certainly. Well, my name's Nathan Jones. I'm the Associate Evangelist and Web Minister for Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy preaching ministry proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ. That's our mission, our focus, and we share the gospel with people and tell them that Jesus is coming back soon. And you can find out all sorts of information about our ministry through our website at lamblion.com. That's lamblion.com. There you can find articles and magazines, sign up for a newsletter. We also have our television show, Christ in Prophecy, which is on 17 networks across the world, so you can watch us on TV as well. And you can feel free to sign up for any of our social groups, network groups like Facebook and Twitter. And come and get to know us, and we will teach you about Bible prophecy, and you'll just grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. And they can also get some Texas hospitality, right?
Yes, our ministry is based here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so, yes, there is a little bit of a Texas flavor to it, although I'm not a Texan myself. Yes, Dr. Reagan, our founder and director, is purely Texan, and there's definitely a Texas flavor to his ministry.
Well, I've been out there a few times, and it's a wonderful place, a little bit different than Miami, but I love it, hanging out with you guys.
Oh, it was great when you come out. You know, it must be hard to leave the paradise you live in and come out to Plains people, but I'm glad you can come out when you can, man.
Not at all, Nathan. I'm originally from the Dominican Republic, so Texas reminds me a little bit in some ways of my native country, so I like it.
Really? I'll have to get down to the Dominican Republic and see sometime.
Definitely, Nathan. I grew up in a farm, cows, horses, all that kind of thing, so I love,
Wow.
I love a lot of the wonderful things that God is doing there in Texas. And of course, Nathan, as we opened our previous program, We were touching on a few things that were transpiring this week, certain current events. You know, the Left Behind movie just came out, and you went to see it. And just a quick recap, your thoughts on that, maybe for someone who hasn't gone out and checked it out?
I'd recommend for anybody out there to go check out that movie. It's based on the book series by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins. Tim LaHaye is probably one of the foremost experts on Bible prophecy today. Excellent series. I've read all the books, and then there were some sequels and prequels, too, that went with it. And it was trying to show you what life would be like after the rapture of the church. That's the event where Jesus takes all who believe in him up to heaven, and then the 7 years of the worst time in human history comes upon the earth. And that movie's about it. It is very true, I believe, to the book, and very similar to the... It's a remake of a movie from, 95? About 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
And it stars Nicolas Cage and Leah Thompson. I think they did a great job of pointing people to the Bible. They, like you said in the last segment, they didn't give an overt gospel message, which I would say that's the downside of it, but they certainly point people to the Bible. They point them to specific Bible verses, and they get people to have an awareness of the fact that the Lord is coming soon to take his church up to heaven.
Amen. And of course, I went to see it. It was a lot of fun. I would encourage people to check it out. Of course, on the last Left Behind series, Kirk Cameron and some other ones played in the movie was really fantastic. And if somebody's going out there maybe expecting the same thing, it's not quite the same thing. It's a different take on it. But nevertheless, it's great. It's clean. It's a lot of fun, biblical. And I do believe that it's going to continue to point people to ask those questions and at least to keep their eyes up, looking up, right, Nathan, that something is going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that's the purpose of the movie. It's to introduce people to the concept of the rapture. I don't know about you, but I don't think they even said the word rapture during it, if I can remember correctly. But they wanted to teach people about the rapture. And there's been a lot of Christian movies out there, some good, some bad. But I would put this one in the good category.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nathan. And, of course, we also talked a little bit about another phenomena that's taking place even today as we're talking. Of course, we're talking about the signs of the times. But, Nathan, I got up early to see the blood moon.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. The clouds were out here in the Miami area.
Oh, that is a shame. Yeah, we got a little bit this morning in Dallas before the clouds came in as well. I saw the tail end of it, and it's fascinating to watch a lunar eclipse as the Earth's shadow crosses over it and gives it that kind of that reddish tinge, and that's why they call it a blood moon.
It's a lot of fun. And Nathan, of course, I got up to see it just because it's exciting. It's one of those things that doesn't happen very often. And of course, I did not get up to see it because I was scared it was the end of the world, right, Nathan?
Yes, some people are saying that this blood moon, there was one earlier in the spring, and there'll be two next year. And the four together is called a tetrad. And because there's four together, then it might have something supernatural connected to it, especially since they fall close to Jewish feast days. And I don't know if there's anything supernatural to it or not, or if it means anything. Certainly the first blood moon, when it happened, nothing happened. Some are saying even that the fourth one next fall could be the rapture of the church. I think that's way over speculating. But it's interesting to see. I mean, the Lord said, and when we read through Luke 21 and Matthew 24, that there'll be signs of the ends of the times, 10 in particular he gives us, and one of them is signs in the sky, the heavens to look out for. And these are certainly signs in the heavens. So maybe they mean something, maybe they don't. I think we're just going to have to wait and see.
I'm in agreement with you, Nathan. We need to stick to the Bible. What the Bible says, we stick to that. If it doesn't say it, we're going to stay silent. If we don't know, like you said in another program, Nathan, we'll say, I don't know.
Exactly. I think as Christians, we need to be able to say, I don't know when we don't know. Because there's a lot we don't know.
There's a lot. And we're still learning. But anyway, thank you, Nathan. And of course, we are talking about signs of the time. You've been taking us through this incredible journey as we've been talking about different signs. We've talked about Jerusalem and all that God is doing there. And of course, in this next segment, you're going to continue to bring us through one of the final signs that I also believe will bring some clarity even to this whole phenomenon of the blood moons, when things are supposed to happen, when things are supposed to light up. So, Nathan, can you continue to take us through this journey?
Certainly, certainly. Well, Jesus in Luke 21, verse 20, he says, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. Let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land, in wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword, be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. This is the ninth sign that Jesus gives us about the end times, and that is the fall of Jerusalem. Now, we know that when the apostles, in response to their question, when will the temple fall, Jesus gave us these signs that pointed to when the temple would fall. And we know in 70 AD, the Romans, under the general Titus Vespasian, marched in. For 3 years, they besieged the city. They starved the people in the city, and by the time that it was done, the people were pretty much reduced to cannibalism. I can read you some stories from the historians of that time period. It was an awful, awful thing. 1.1 million Jews were killed, 98,000 captured, and it says that Josephus, who was a historian at that time period, said the slaughter within was even more dreadful than the spectacle from without. Men and women, old and young, insurgents and priests, those who fought and those who entreated mercy, were hewn down in indiscriminate carnage. The number of the slain exceeded that of the slayers. The legionaries had to clamber over heaps of dead to carry on the work of extermination. And then Titus, the general, when he was about to get a wreath of victory that the Romans got, he said he declined it. He said, "No merit. There is no merit in vanquishing people forsaken by their own God."
Wow.
So just as Jesus said 40 years earlier, the Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple, every stone was knocked down, and the people were led out to exile into the land, just as he prophesied.
Incredible. Nathan, thank you so much. And of course, there in Luke chapter 21, as we continue to open up this passage, and then next, following that, other signs, right?
Certainly. There was 10 signs, but this was a sign of the fall of the temple. And but the apostles had asked actually Jesus more than that one question, when would the temple fall? They also wanted to know when would be the signs of the age, the church age, and what would be the signs that show that Jesus' second coming was coming. And Jesus gave, amazingly enough, the same signs for each of the three questions, so that we knew that the signs, as they come, would come just more frequently and more intensely. Jesus called them birth pains.
Yes.
The closer we got to his return. All of a sudden, we're at the end of the church age. Israel is a country again after almost 1,900 years. Who's ever heard of a country coming back to existence after almost 2,000 years?
Amazing.
It doesn't happen. I mean, the Hittites aren't back in the land. The Mayans don't have a, you know, the Native Americans, you know, they haven't rebuilt the League of Iroquois Nations. I mean, none of that's come back again. But Israel is back, and Israel is the object lesson of the Bible that God gives the world. And so it means something. It's important. 1967, the Jews recaptured Jerusalem, so it's under control again. And so all of a sudden, we're back to the same scene that we were just before the fall of the temple. Israel's back in the land, and there has to be a third temple. The Jews have been planning this for a long time, to have another temple built up there where the Dome of the Rock is now. And so we're seeing history come full circle. We're seeing the signs increase, and we know then that we're getting close to the rapture of the church.
And we are definitely looking forward for that event to happen, Nate, and we believe that's something that can happen at any moment. And we are very excited to be living in these days, right?
Oh, exactly. I mean, to be able to be alive and see Israel. Matter of fact, because of Israel becoming a nation again, a lot of Bible prophecy teachers call it the super sign. It's so important to... It's like the key linchpin of all of Bible prophecy. You can go back to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, and he said, "I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem, and on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All who try to move it will injure themselves." Now, Zechariah prophesied after the Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. So he's obviously not talking about history. He's talking about the future. And we know when the Romans came in 70 AD, they destroyed Jerusalem, and they marched all the Jews out.
Right.
But here Zechariah is prophesying that Jerusalem will be an immovable rock. Any country that tries to move it will injure themselves. They'll be besieged by the nations. It says all the nations of the earth. So we know this is a future event, a future fulfillment of the prophecy Jesus gave us. We could almost think about when the fall of the temple in 70 AD, the fall of Jerusalem, was kind of a warm-up or a preview of what is going to happen in a much larger scale in the future.
Excellent, Nathan. And of course, and we see the development of things, you know, we know that the Lord is coming back soon. And as we look here at Luke chapter 21, you bring us now to this incredible sign of the Lord. And can you talk to us a little bit about that, Nathan?
Certainly, certainly. Well, We do know, because the Bible says that during the tribulation period, a one-world leader, an Antichrist, is going to come and rule the world. And Matthew 24, 21 says, "For there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again." This is a great tribulation for the last 7 years of the, 3.5 years of the seven-year tribulation. The Antichrist is going to persecute the Jews. He starts the tribulation by making a peace treaty with them. As he conquers the world, he leaves them alone for 3.5 years. But the last 3.5 years, he slaughters 2/3 of the Jews in the world. Man, there's about 12 million Jews in the world. So we're talking about 8 million Jews or 7 to 8 million are going to be slaughtered. And because of the slaughter will be so severe that the Jews will look at a time of great persecution against them and against the world. And we know, though, that that will end with the return of Jesus Christ. And that's the 10th sign that the Bible gives us, the return of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus did not return when the temple fell and Jerusalem fell in 70 A.D.
Right.
When Jesus returns at the rapture, it says he doesn't set foot on ground, but he's up in the clouds and we are taken to meet him up there. So that's not the second coming of Jesus Christ. We know at the end of the tribulation is when Jesus returns. He puts his feet on the ground. He returns to earth to set his kingdom. That is the fulfillment of it. Matter of fact, Luke 21, 25 through 28 says, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the seas. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man come in the cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near."
Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, Nathan, I'm so excited. It's so sad because today, Nathan, they have all these different teachings out there. You have pre-wrath, you have post-trib, right, Nathan? And they're doing a disservice to the blessed hope, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no blessed hope for the church if we get to be slaughtered throughout the tribulation. I mean, the Antichrist not only declares war on the Jews after he's conquered, but all those who get saved after the rapture, that what we call the tribulation saints, when they give their lives to Jesus Christ, it's pretty much a death sentence. It's almost, I'm not saying ISIS is the Antichrist, but let's just use a modern-day example. ISIS beheads anybody and everybody that disagrees with them. The Antichrist will do the same thing. He wants the whole world to worship him, so he puts down every people group, every religion, anything that stands his way. And the slaughter of the Christians throughout the tribulation is incredibly terrible. Now, what kind of blessed hope is it for the Christian church if we're slaughtered? As a matter of fact, Revelation tells us that multitudes beyond count are killed, they're martyred for the sake of the Lord. So clearly it's not a blessed hope. The blessed hope of Jesus' return is to rapture the church before the tribulation happens, and there's many verses that support that.
Absolutely, and that's why, Nathan, as Christians and as a prophecy Bible teacher, so in certain instances we can agree to disagree, but the reality is that it's no hope. I don't see it. I don't see the grace of God in that, you know, and that's why I love the way that you're bringing us through this, bringing clarity into these events. So continue to take us through this journey, Nathan, here in the return of Christ.
Okay. Well, we know that the Israel is being brought back because Jesus made, through God, of course, the Holy Spirit, and through his prophets, promised all throughout the Old Testament that Israel would be restored as a people group again. Yes. They would give up their idolatry in the first exile, actually got rid of the Jews. They were idolatrous people. They worshiped Baal and all that during the time period before the first exile. And the first exile cured them. They came back to Israel. The Babylonians sent them back, the Persians, actually. And they ended up giving their heart to God. But when the Messiah came at Jesus' first coming, they wouldn't accept him. They rejected him. And 40 years after Jesus, 70 A.D., they were dispersed throughout the world. But God's promises were not forgotten. God said that he would restore a remnant of them into faith in him. And the tribulation is called the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah chapter 30. In other words, it's so bad that sometimes we can't come to repentance before God unless our lives are so bad that we just cry out to God for help. And the tribulation will be the worst time in human history, 21 judgments from God that basically destroy most of the earth's population and the ecology, and it gets the remnant of Jewish people to accept Jesus as Savior so that when Jesus returns, Jesus said he wouldn't return until they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation, if he didn't, there wouldn't be much life lasting after that, because the world is pretty much destroyed by the end of the tribulation, sadly, that those remnant of the Jews will give their life to Jesus Christ. And when he sets up his kingdom on earth, he defeats Satan, the Antichrist, he restores the earth back into a natural paradise again, and the Jewish people that have believed in him as Savior live on and through the millennial kingdom as a priestly group for the people in their earthly bodies, and we who are the church, our glorified bodies, we get to be there too.
Amen.
And we get to serve the Lord as well. And I'm not going to leave out the believing Gentiles too, because it's not just the Jewish people that survive the tribulation. There will be Gentiles who survive, and they will form the nations of the earth. But the Jewish people in their earthly bodies in particularly, they get to be the priestly group for the Lord throughout the millennial kingdom.
Hallelujah. And we're included, Nathan, of course. And that's why the encouragement is those that are tuned into the program right now at this moment, man, God has so many wonderful things prepared for you as Nathan is sharing with us what awaits us for the future. And it all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why we call out to you right now, turn to the Lord while there's still time. He loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. Of course, you're tuned in to the Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, as we're talking about the signs of the time, the return of the Lord. And Nathan, of course, we see things still continue to unfold, right? A lot of incredible things. The Bible tells us exactly in 1 Thessalonians about the return of the Lord and just how everything actually lines up with the Word.
Exactly. I mean, if anyone needs to get an idea of what's going on in the world, they just have to look at Jerusalem. Watch the news. Read the news. Doesn't it seem like there's an obsession with the world over Israel?
Yes.
I mean, it seems like the UN exists to do nothing but make resolution after resolution against Israel. They can't build a house without the whole world condemning them. They can't defend themselves against enemies like Hamas without the whole world condemning them. I mean, it's ludicrous, right?
Absolutely, Nathan. And then people need to realize that there's a reason why all this is taking place. This is not just coincidence. This is Bible prophecy being fulfilled.
Exactly. Matter of fact, it's got to be so that the whole world focuses its attention on Israel. Now, the whole world does focus its attention on Israel. It blames them for everything, and you're kind of like, wow, that's nuts. But anti-Semitism, the purpose of that is to drive the Jews back to Israel. And when the Lord has all the Jews regathered back to Israel, the tribulation starts, and the Antichrist makes a covenant with them. They feel they're at peace for about the first 3.5 years, but the Antichrist will break that covenant. Will become the worst time period in all of human history, and a remnant of the Jews will be refined out of that to accept Jesus as Messiah when he returns. So that's what all this is leading to. And if people see all this happening, they understand, it's like, whoa, I live in a time period where Jesus is coming back. So they have to ask themselves, am I ready for Jesus to come
yes.
back?
And you know, Nathan, that is a very good question. And I believe that that needs to be a question that should be asked by everyone. And Nathan, also, we find that even believers, many are asleep when it comes to what's going on, right?
They really are. And it's sad. I mean, clearly, we deal with a lot today. And I don't blame the churches for having endless sermons about how to live in this difficult life, marriage, divorce, even sexuality, you name it. There's so many things that we live on a day-to-day basis. But when we understand God's prophetic word, 31% of the Bible, man, 31% is God's prophetic word. He wants us to know about the future. And when we have that big picture, that 30,000-foot view, then we kind of understand where our lives fit in the big scheme of things, and that helps us live our lives better. It helps us live our lives to live more holy and to evangelize more, because we know the time is short. And when we see the world falling apart around us, we can understand that that's part of a bigger picture of God's plan. We know how it'll end. I mean, you and I know how it's going to end. And it ends with Jesus coming back victorious. And that should get us excited and give us hope for the future.
I love that, Nathan. And that's what it is. That is our hope as we turn to the last page of the Bible. You know, at the end, we win. Those that are with Christ, those that are following him, no matter what's happening in their lives right now, right, Nathan? There's always hope.
Exactly. To know Bible prophecy is let me backtrack a little here. When people look at Bible prophecy, they hear all the gloom and doom and destruction. And we have covered plenty of that with these 10 signs over the last few weeks. But it all leads up to Jesus Christ returning. So the earth and all the terrors that are happening now are such a tiny, minuscule, short time in human history compared to the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, where he brings peace and righteousness and justice on the world, and then the eternal state where we live in a super city called the New Jerusalem on the new earth. God reformats the earth, and it'll be a time where there's no crying, no tears, no suffering, and that is goes on forever. So when people look at Bible prophecy, they get, oh man, it's all death and destruction, but it's not.
No.
It's just for a short period of time. The true hope is knowing our eternal lives that are coming after that.
Oh, absolutely. Again, you tuned into The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones, our lines out open. The phone number is 305-992-9537. You can call in or text in your question or your comment. You can also reach us at 321-END-TIME, 321-363-8463 as well. I know we only have a few minutes left to the program, but Nathan, it's just these signs that you've taken us through, like you mentioned, it's for us to know simply what's going to happen, what is going to transpire. We don't believe we're going to be here, but we do believe that as Christians, we do have a responsibility. We see the alarm sounding. We see the clock ticking. We see everything sort of wrapping up. And it's almost like an urgent call for us to wake up, right, Nathan, to move forward, to preach the gospel, the Great Commission. And I believe that that all has to be motivated by the Holy Spirit, a relationship with the Lord. And once someone opens their heart to receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit moves in, and he does that work. Right, Nathan?
Exactly. We're certainly living in a time where if we understand the signs of the times, we know that Jesus is just around the corner. I mean, he could come at any moment. It's like a snap. It just, when the rapture happens, no one's going to be expecting it. Jesus compares it to being like a thief. You know, you don't expect when a thief's going to break
right
in your house. And he's going to come in and break into this world, and there's going to be a lot of people who are going to wake up when they see the rapture happen and be like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I waited too long. And if they know about the tribulation, with the horror to think that they have to live. Matter of fact, when we were talking about the Left Behind movie, you know, it ends at the end with the characters all looking kind of forward into the future, knowing that this is just the beginning of the horrors to come. And you got to ask anybody, what are you waiting for? If you know Jesus Christ died for your sins, what are you waiting for? Give your life to him now before it's too late. You could die at any moment. And if you're dead, there's no chance of you accepting Jesus' free gift of salvation.
Oh, Nathan, excellent point. And that's why we generally just want to encourage people out there that there's opportunity. And Nathan, we know that we don't have like a canned way of people coming to know the Lord, but maybe somebody's out there that doesn't have a relationship, Nathan, a prayer that they can pray, something you can lead them through so they can come to the feet of Jesus.
If you're ready to accept Jesus as your Savior, if you believe in your heart that he's the Son of God and that he died for your sins, and he rose again to defeat death, that victory over death can be yours as well. And just pray in your heart something that expresses what you're feeling, that, dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins and be my Savior. And Jesus promises when you come to him in repentance, he will forgive you of your sins, he will give you that blessed hope, and he will give you that future of eternal life with him.
Excellent. Nathan, thank you so much. What a wonderful way to close our program. Thank you for joining us, Nathan, for the second segment of the program. It's always a joy to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me on, brother. It's a great opportunity to share the gospel, and I'm just amazed what you guys at T-Wave are doing.
Oh, thank you so much, Nathan. The Lord bless you. Again, you're tuning to the second segment. This is Nathan Jones. Again, our lines will remain open for prayer. 3-2-1 in time. Lord bless you. And may his faith find everything stuff.
Escuchando los ministerios.
From Teacher Story News in London.